Good evening, everyone, and welcome to An Hour with an Angel. I'm Steve Becko, Chief Editor of the Golden Age of Gaia, and with me is Linda Dillon, Channel for the Council of Love, author of the new You, Awakening to Humanity's... How does that go, Linda? Awakening to the Brilliance of Humanity's...
Consciousness.
Consciousness. What a beautiful title. I recall that Stephen Cook assisted you with that.
I was just going to say, thank you, Stephen.
Yeah. Very nice. How are you, Linda?
I am great. I am just great.
Good.
Thank you. And how are you, Steve?
Just getting back in the groove after a visit with my brother, wonderful visit, and now trying to find out what happened in the 3 days. Everything's moving so fast right now.
It's amazing, the sense of really rapid movement. I know that we're all sort of looking around and saying, you know, when, but in fact, it's almost hard to keep up with how fast things are going.
Yes, and the kind of tantalizing announcements, or if they're not announcements, they're suggestions from people like Grenner, and the Divine Mother's talk the other day. Oh my gosh, you know, it's like,
yeah,
and,
you know,
I'm
and
ready.
I mentioned uh-huh. that in the newsletter that I sent out yesterday. That it seems to me, and I'm glad you're confirming it. Thank you. That the tenor
yes.
of what we're being talked to and what's being shared, the ante has really been upped.
Yes.
And in terms of really bringing us forth and sharing more information, and also from my perspective, this sense of that it's more collegial,
mm-hmm.
that we've reached a place in our
yes,
spiritual
yes.
evolution or ascension,
yes.
that we're privy to more.
Yes, yes. Also, not only that, but the you called it the tenor. Before a big battle, oftentimes the commander-in-chief addresses the troops and gives them their marching orders, so to speak, and or their commands for the battle. And that's what it felt like when the Divine Mother was talking about our divine authority. And
yes,
that
it
felt like the message before, you know, the bugle sounded or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it just feels like things are picking up in speed and in scope. And it's very exciting.
It is exciting. And I think you're right that channeling, that visit that we had last time we met with the Divine Mother, it really did feel like, okay, this is the plan. This is the big picture of what the plan is unfolding to be. And get
mm-hmm.
going. Get going.
Yeah. Take your positions. That's
yeah.
right.
I hope your knapsack is packed.
I understand that we have Archangel Michael today who wants to discuss both the abuse of power and, I assume, free will as well, mm-hmm. and all topics in between. It's a real, real substantial topic today.
Get ready.
So I'll let you make your transition, dear.
Thank you.
And we will, when you're ready, welcome Archangel Michael.
Greetings, I am Michael.
Greetings, Lord.
And welcome to each and every one of you. I welcome you as Archangel of Peace, Warrior of Love, Bringer of News. And what other titles you wish to bestow on me, I gladly accept. But please also bestow on me the title of friend, of ally, of brother, as we go forth, yes, dear Steve, dear Linda, as you have said, in the fulfillment of the Mother's plan. Now, we all know that the Mother's plan is infinite and eternal. And even as Archangel, And even if I stretched my wings and my arms to the breadth of this universe, I would not touch the edges of her plan, of the infinite divine plan. So when we say, and when we speak heart to heart, mind to mind, friend to friend, about the fulfillment of the plan, of course we are speaking of this phase and this element and the beauty, the phenomenal beauty of the bringing forth to fruition this element, this segment of our mother's plan. And yes, in order to manage and promote workability, of course we talk of the fulfillment of the mother's plan for this planet, for this beautiful archangel Gaia, and the fulfillment of the ascension of the human collective. And of course, everything else, all the kingdoms, anything you can conceive of. Because of course it is integrated. It is of a piece. And you bring forth the ascension of a planet. But even that part of the plan has such implications, yes, what you would think of as the domino effect, for so many planets, so many galaxies, so many races throughout the omniverse. You know, we come this day to talk about power. But even before we get there, I want each of you, my beloveds, to consider the wonder of this life, of this incarnation, of this time, in the unfoldment of the divine plan. Through that exercise that you have referred to, a free will partnered with your divine authority that you are bringing forth in form, in substance, in materiality, the plan of the mother. Think of it, you are translating a divine dream, a divine wish into form. On this beloved planet, you have had an age which, although you don't recognize it, still goes on, but you have had an age of inventors where those who would dream and conceptualize, such as Einstein, and then that would be brought into form. And look now how so many of Einstein's theories are being proven to be true. Well, we knew that a long time ago. Now think of your life, that your dreams, your ideas of what your heart desires and what you know is possible, because you came with that knowing, is being brought into form, materiality. And whether it is simply a concept, such as an institution or a society, the way it functions, it is still a form. And it is a form because there are human beings acting, behaving according to the principles of the institution or the society and the belief systems they're under. The magnitude of this and the magnitude of our honoring of each of you in this beyond substantial. So know that. Power. With that preface, what I suggest and say to you is there is only one source of power in the true sense. Yes, like Yeshua speaks of true love. Now let us speak of true power. Now what is the essence of power? What is the creative force of source, of mother, father, one? Well, if you have not heard us, then you have not been listening, because repeatedly and infinitely and eternally we will always say, it is love. That is the generating essence of all power. And we will talk about divine authority in this context as well. How you experience power is through a unified, even a form of sacred union. Think of it even in terms of your electricity, your grids. You plug something into the wall, or you tune into some electronic cell tower, etc., and you key into the power. You connect to the juice that will generate whatever device you are hoping to give you satisfaction. So it is with genuine power. This word, as we have spoken of before, has been greatly abused, misused, and certainly misunderstood until it has degenerated in your language and in many languages and in the collective consciousness of humans to almost a negative connotation. So we want to resurrect this term of power. Because each of you, my beloved friends, are being invited to fully assume your power. Now, it is a different expression of that for each and every one of you. But the source of what you plug in and join and conjoin with is the same. It is the infinite, it is the love. And that is the energy, the juice, that allows you to proceed and to bring into form. Now, upon this planet, and I am not just speaking about this time, although this is some wondrous examples, but power has been regrettably used. And this is where the connotation of power as a negative has come from. Not from the purity of the essence of source, but from the abuse of power. And when power is abused, it degenerates. Think of it that way. There is a degeneration into manipulation, force, control, and there is an exercise of false authority over other beings. there is the manipulation of energy. And it does not matter whether it is in physicality or emotionality or any form. It is coercion to make another align with your small self-will. I won't say free will. I will say self-will. So let us use that delineation as well. Now, what happens when there is this abuse of power? One of the things, let us talk about the abuser. And yes, we can talk about abuser from a Genghis Khan or a Hitler to a child who is manipulating simply because they want to get their own way. It is not the child that we are talking about, although we will address the variations on this. When there is a person, because it is primarily a human issue, that becomes an abuser of power. So often your focus has been on those who are abused, and we will get to that. But what happens to the abuser? There is a disconnect, a fundamental disconnect from their universal soul design, and of course from Source. This is how so many false grids and paradigms grew up upon your planet. So think of it again in terms of the plug. And you know, if you have a plug sort of half plugged in or a wobbly connection, you may get a flash of electricity here and there, but the full connection is lost, and if left alone, what ends up happening is the plug simply falls out of the wall. So the abuser, in taking that coercive action, that decision, make no mistake about it, because it is a decision, it is an act of self-will. There is a disconnect from the divine, and there is a disconnect from themselves, from their own natural self. So they are becoming simply a shadow, and that shadow begins to gain substance and may be what you think of as an aspect of the self. But it is never the totality of the being. And of course, the more the individual lives and participates in that aspect, it gains energy. But it is all, think of this, it is all discordant energy. It is energy that is not aligned either with truth or with the truth of their being. And this is very, very sad. It is a departure from Source, and it is a departure, most often, there are some exceptions, but it is a departure from the reason why they chose to incarnate in the first place, which was to know the joy and the experience of love and form. Now, they may claim love, but it is an ego experience, and it is an ego experience which is self-explanatory, where the love is reflected upon oneself rather than truly in a conjoining, in a sacred partnership with another, whether it is a partner or a family or a community. the more that disconnect and the longer, the stronger that disconnect is in place, the more aberrant the behaviors become, the more unhappy, to put it mildly, the individual becomes, even if they claim happiness or joy. Joy is off the table. So you are dealing with an individual who has assumed power through coercion and force control, who is in a completely dysfunctional, discordant relationship, not only with themselves, but with whomever they associate with, whether it is partner, family, community, nation, or world. Then there are those who are on, subtly or actually, directly or indirectly, in receipt, let us put it that way, of the abuse of control. And again, you have the realm from a parent's being held hostage in the supermarket to something as abhorrent as a Hitler. Abuse of power requires agreement and acquiescence. When there is an abuse of power, again, either subtly or actually, what happens, particularly in the direct line of fire, the individual who is being manipulated, abused, coerced, is subtly or actually agreeing or acquiescing. And they are simply different points on the same spectrum to be controlled. Now, either because it doesn't seem to matter to them at the moment, or there is an agreement because of lack of self-worth and self-love that they will allow this. Now, I can already hear you, Steve, saying to me, well, a victim of rape and violence is not agreeing. And that is no. Absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Yes, I can read your mind. And that is the battle for truth. That is the battle for freedom. But let us finish the thought, because the battle is where I want to go. But the unconscious, and sometimes conscious, agreement with the abuser leads eventually, and sometimes rapidly, to the establishment of a paradigm of abuse of power that is accepted, and then the recipient of that abuse of power, whether it is a spouse or a community or a nation, then is participating consciously or subconsciously in this false paradigm that is completely disconnected from source and truth, from the love energy. Now, what is happening with humanity? And you say, well, dear Lord, it looks like we're all going down the tubes rapidly. And, of course, those of you who are feeling that are simply dismayed at what you are witnessing, at the exposure of the abuse of power, to which we are thrilled. Because what is truly happening is there are billions of you. And not all of those billions wear the hat of being called light worker or love holder. But there are billions who are not only acknowledging and witnessing and seeing and exposing the abuse of power, but very actively choosing with the free will, not the self will, that they do not want to be, they do not choose to be within that facade, that illusion of those who are trying to create or recreate an old third. Now, if we had had this conversation to its fullest several years ago, you would not have fully understood. And I do not mean this in a derogatory way. You would not have fully understood what I was talking about. And you would not have fully understood or agreed with me. Nevertheless, it was there and it was truth. But you were in a more hopeful forward thrust mode, and that was necessary to get you to this point. Now, what is power? And let us go back to the agreement and the acquiescence. Because power is unification. It is conjoining. It is community. It is alignment. And it is alignment of free will with divine will. It does not eradicate, limit, or even require that you give up your decision-making power. Quite the contrary. In previous conversations, we have talked about power, the assumption of the mantle of power in human form, in creating Nova Earth, as the assumption of stewardship, of guardianship. And that still stands. Make no mistake about that. But what does human power mean? Yes, of course it means balance. But it also means, my beloved friends, that you are fully, fully plugged in. That you are fully connected. And you say, well, Lord, I am trying, but I'm waiting for ascension. Maybe once I go through that final portal, then I'll feel fully plugged in. No, that is not good enough. You have the capacity. You have the wherewithal. You have absolutely what it takes to fully align with your power, your universal self, the totality of your soul design, your abilities into and with, in divine perfection of your divine authority, with the divine authority, with the love right now. No more delays. In the using of power, because power, when you think of how it is used in terms of your electrical grids, etc. It is something to be utilized. It is an energy to be utilized. It is part of what you think of as your co-creative efforts. And in that, there are always, yes, always, and that is large, will be elements of agreement and acquiescence. And that is fine if you are a master chef and your passion, your inspiration, your power lies in creating delightful, nutritious, regenerative, restorative meals, then in your family, you may become the kitchen power. And that is your forte, and you are in joy when you are doing that. And others support you in doing that. Now, some of your family may acquiesce because they have absolutely no interest in going anywhere near the kitchen. So to them, it is a non-issue. And you will feel them say, go for it, and I am so happy you are. And that level of acquiescence is perfect. Divinely perfect. Then there are those in your family who will be in agreement. Well, yes, I am not particularly fond. It is not my forte or my first passion to be the cook or the chef. So you go ahead and be the chef because that is who you are. And then there is an attachment to that. But now and then, I would like to participate or even be in charge of the kitchen or a meal. And that is the cooperation. Because, of course, as the chef, you are saying, this is my passion. But that does not mean I always want to be tethered to the kitchen. Because I may wish to go to an art class. I may wish to join Michael and paint the sky. So there is that level, and I'm using the simplest example, of cooperation. So there are those that go ahead and do what you want, because that is not in my purview of interest. And then there are those who want to be on the periphery. And then there will be those who say, well, I want to participate more fully, because I want to learn how to cook. I'm not sure if that's my passion, but I would like to participate. And so it is in power. So, dearest Steve, for example, you are a writer, you are a communicator. This is the essence of who you are. This is the essence of what I would term your power, your passion, your contribution, your talent, and the choices that you are making with your free will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am not asking you to go and be a landscaper because that is not your passion. Now, there are others, and the others that are listening right now, whose grand passion is to go and get their hands in the dirt and talk to the trees and dance with the elementals. And that is fine. What is key in this, in the true connection to power? It is that alignment, and it is the exercise of free will choice, not in authoritarian, coercive ways, but in absolute cooperation of the highest realm of love. Of loving actions, of loving energy, because the love is the energy that is going to help you create, whether it is a cake or a garden or a nation, that is what is going to create what works for everyone. If the love, the cooperation, unity, consideration, empathy, compassion is not present, then it is not of love, and it certainly is not of power, because it is not of the mother. It is simply of human design. And as history has shown you again and again, that human design has been extremely faulty. Now, with those food for thought, where do you wish to begin?
Thank you, Lord. Could begin at a lot of points, but you're not just talking about Hitler or Genghis Khan. You're also talking about me. It's just a question of how far you want to take things, right? But the same attempts to force my will on others through my words or energy or attitudes, it's the same, right? It's just on a very much smaller scale.
That is correct. And I am glad you have brought me to my next point.
Okay. Now that's divine co-creative partnership.
That is correct. Now, in the gentlest way I say this, there is not a one of you that has not at some juncture practiced an abuse of power. And that is a good thing insofar as you know exactly, be honest with yourself, you know exactly what it looks and feels and tastes like. And you have been the recipient of, can we call them, these minor abuses of power. So there is subtle manipulation that goes on in human interaction. And it is part of what you would think of as egoic behavior rather than heart-conscious behavior. And what we witness, beloveds, is that there is less and less of this because you are becoming more conscious. Not only are you becoming more conscious of when you are doing this, you are becoming more uncomfortable with when you are doing this, because you know what you are doing. Now, sometimes you just say, but I really want my own way. Not trusting that if you were to express that in positive ways, in ways that admit you're human, that you would get your own way anyway. So there is still this level in many hearts, well, in many egos, that are still at that level of the manipulative child. Do I come this day to blame or shame or bring guilt to you? No, that is not of love. But I do bring your attention to it. Because when you behave that way, what you are doing, sweet angels, is pulling that plug. You are pulling that plug, not completely, but making it wobbly from your own universal soul design and from the source. So think of it. You are disconnecting, yes, from Mother, Father, One, but you are also disconnecting from your beloved self. And the difficulty of this is, when you are in that position, it means you cannot, think of this, it is not possible to have a full heart connection with another being, not with a human being, not with your guides, not with an archangel. Oh, we will talk to you, make no doubt about it. But you won't feel the full impact of our love. And that is sad. Even in the animal kingdom. And let us even make it more specific with a dog. And you all know that dogs are among the most faithful, loyal, and they are used to being adherent. And even with dogs, when you are in that disconnect, you cannot fully connect. And that is pathetic. Because that, in a conscious being, in a conscious light worker, love holder, is pathetic. Because you know better. You have already been, and when I say you, I mean the light worker collective, the love holder collective, the billions that I have talked about that don't even know those terms, are flying back and forth through that ascension portal. You are on this side because what you are doing is waiting for the collective bump, but you are also already creating Nova Earth and Nova Being. So what you are doing is you are fine-tuning some of your behaviors. You are bringing to the conscious forefront of both your mind and your heart that you choose not to reinforce a paradigm of abuse of power. Because when you do those various scenic detours, those various little exercises in manipulation, what you are also doing is you are paying homage. You are agreeing with that abuse of power paradigm. And that is not the truth of your heart or who you are. So more and more, you are saying no. Now, I want to be clear. There is a difference. And I want this to be known very much between acting manipulatively and writing or channeling or speaking or having a cup of coffee in conversation that is from your heart. This is why we have taken the trouble and your star family has been teaching you about the various forms of language. Now you are not trying in writing to manipulate. It is not errant behavior to state your case. When you write, when you speak, when you behave from the framework, the truth of your genuine understanding, when you have done your work, dear hearts, of digging and removing the debris, which you are doing marvelously, when you speak from that place, then what you are doing is not trying to manipulate. You aren't trying to coerce people into your point of view. You are leaving that doorway wide open, because you are speaking in Sador, for a lively conversation. You are saying, this is what I think, and this is how I feel, this is what I believe, and then you are saying, but you may have something to add to this understanding. You may have something to build and to expand this, not just for me, but for all of us. So it is an open conversation. In the abuse of power, it is a closed conversation. It is, this is the way it is, this is how you are to behave, this is what you have need to adhere to, and I don't want any back talk. That is not of love. But in a loving conversation, what is happening is that door is open. So So where the conversation is closed, and there are far too many people in various nations who are afraid. Yes, and I do not mean afraid in terms of worthiness issues. I mean afraid for their lives, afraid for their freedom, to express that. But what you are doing, and this is one of the reasons why I'm asking to talk about this day, when you are throwing that door open and you are saying, this is the conversation, this is what I believe, this is what I feel, what do you have to add? And we have certainly seen some very interesting additions. Not all is truth. That does not matter. Because that will be called out like a weed in a garden. And it will be done gently and kindly and with a great deal of humor. But what you do when you open that conversation, when you are laying down that new grid of power, authority, of stewardship, is you are saying, come over here. Because we are wide open to building together. That this is collegial, this is cooperative, we are unified, and we have a goal. And our goal is bringing into form the love that the mother shows us, shares with us, that is in our very DNA. We have talked about diverging pathways, and that you are forging a new pathway, and you are saying to the collective, look, come over here. Well, this new framework of power is part of this. Do you understand what I say?
Well, I do, but I have to admit that I'm still having trouble thinking of situations like being the head of a company, say, and having a mission, having a vision, and getting the manifestation of that vision, getting it to happen, and having not chains of command exactly, but reporting relationships, let's use that business phrase, how to do it without lapsing into giving commands or abuse of power. I still don't understand how that will work after the abundance starts to flow and light workers are dispersing funds. I still don't know how it's going to work, this balance between command or getting something done or asking people to do things and free will.
It is leadership.
Could now, you talk a bit more about that?
I would
that?
Be pleased to.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay.
Now, you've heard me, and I am but one archangel in a legion of servants to the mother. So we know what it is to have a boss. And nothing that I would do would ever be contrary to the mother's dream. Because that is all I desire. That is all I align to. And I have legions. My legion of blue, as you well know, my friend. Think of it in this way. All true leaders, all true stewards, formulate a team. That concept, that structure, was not formulated on abuse of power. Was it hijacked and manipulated and bastardized? Yes. But think of it in this way, as the head of a corporation, you must have a team. No individual is responsible for the creation or co-creation of Nova Earth. How many times do we have to say to you that we are not a hierarchy? We work cooperatively. Now, does that mean that no one takes the lead? Of course not. The person who is best suited for that role takes the lead in that spectrum. There needs to be structure, otherwise all you have is chaos. And you've seen enough of that. And I'm not even talking about six-dimensional chaos. You will just simply have man. So you don't take someone who is absolutely not only having managerial qualities, but is brilliant in IT, and you don't put them in charge of personnel. Because the IT person knows nothing about providing insurance and health care. So you bring forward a team. And that team has to be cohesive and in alignment with what you have termed the mission and purpose, the structure, the belief system of why the company, the institution, the project exists. If they are not, then that is not a good fit. Now, will there be a discussion? When there is a CEO today, let us use today, and that CEO goes on vacation or on hiatus, on a well-earned rest for a month, what happens? That person who wants to try out cooking in the kitchen gets to try it on and to experiment and to learn and to grow and to be supported by the team, because for the moment, that is the best person to be in that position. And eventually that person may decide they love doing that, so they may go off and start their own corporation, and that is all right. Because what they are doing is they are carrying the values, the vision, the mission into another realm and another realm and another realm. You have an abhorrence, dear Steve, of being seen as controlling.
Even while I do try to control.
Yes, that is correct. So you see the conflict there.
Yes,
I do. It is not so much controlling as actively seeking cooperation. The fear of control and the desire to control comes from the subtle fear that people do not want to go forward in the direction, the same direction, or in the same realm that you do. And what we are suggesting to you in this new paradigm is that they do. So those old fears that there is an abuser knocking at the door and you better be vigilant and control the situation so they don't get access is not true. So you are letting that go. And what you are doing is you are seeking out new ways, heart ways, of being in friendship, of being in business, of being in projects, of being in family, because that old paradigm is gone. Now you are seeing some rigorous attempts at resurrection, but you aren't participating in that, and I strongly encourage you. Control and the need to control is simply based on the fear that you will be overridden and abused yourself. And this comes from either past lives or being controlled as a child. Let it go.
Wow. I confess that I have the fear that I will have a vision for the Michelangelo Fund, say, and that it'll start to wobble and people won't subscribe to it and I'll be pulling out my hair. So that's the kind of scenario I'm wrestling with in my worried mind.
So let us go back to the vision. Why would those beings who wish to share in that construction and the bringing into materiality, a vision that appeals to them, try to undermine that vision? Well, the truth would be that they would come with their, how you would phrase it, would be their own agendas or their own issues of lack of self-sufficiency or self-worth, self-love. And therefore, there would be what we would call those scenic detours. Now, what we are on, this is one of the reasons why we have said to all of you, don't rush. Please, breathe. But also, in the culture of a project, a company, an institution, a society. Because now you have this wide open door. Now, let us also say, the wide open door doesn't mean permission to act out. But what it does mean is that there is permission when somebody starts, and that will happen, to act out or go into old, discordant, aberrant behavior, that the culture is such that you bring that person back into the fold, or they are given the opportunity to depart and find their own way somewhere where it does fit. Because nobody wishes individuals to be creating in areas that don't fit them, don't fit their desires and mission and purpose. But do not think that you do not have, and that we do not have, the power to bring you the right people. But that you do not have, in your own divine authority, the ability to call forth, to create and bring to you those people who are a perfect fit. So that there isn't an adjustment period, a honeymoon period, a cleaning house period. Because that is not, yes, there are going to be adjustments, but the whole purpose of building a team, and a team can be your inner circle of six or seven, and it can also be an outer circle of thousands, it is still a team. From the person who wants to sweep the floor at night to the CEO, you are a team. And right. Each being has equal value. But it is appropriate. The CEO does not tell the maintenance person how to sweep. And the person who is sweeping does not tell the CEO how to implement the vision. It is that simple. Everybody has a place. And every place is critical.
Wow. I certainly do notice my own tendency to project the past into the future. All the failed attempts at getting some pretty exciting things off the ground and all the war wounds and so.
Well, might I say that this is something we can relate to?
Well, I suppose. In big time, as a matter of fact, I'm sure. We just have a few minutes left, Lord. This is such a substantial conversation. I hate to end it. I really do. Why don't I just say to you that we have a few minutes left. Please continue to a point where you feel we can leave the conversation to another time.
I want to pick up, my beloved friend, on what you have said, the wounds of war and past experience. And I have made a joke because we know what it is to have things go awry. Let us put it that way. What I would encourage you to do, rather than drawing on the past, and yes, the very end of the hour, I am introducing new concept. Rather than drawing on the past, draw on the future. You are in the mother's new time, in an infinite ocean of fluidity of time. Swim to the future. Locate your ideal of what the current reality in form would look like. Pick it up and bring that in to your very heart, your mind, your being, yourself, and let it fill you, and let that be your reference point, because you are not recreating the old. You are bringing forth the new. So go to the new, bring it into your now, and proceed from that point.
That's very helpful. Thank you for that.
You are so welcome, my friend, my brother. I speak to all of you all over this beautiful planet. Take the mantle of power. Assume your divine authority and step forth, not in timidity, but in the declaration of who you are and your freedom. Go
in
peace.
Farewell.
Farewell,
Lord.